Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Colts Cover 2 podcast. I am IndyStar Colts insider Jim Aiello, and I am joined, as always, by fellow insider and co-host Joel A. Erickson. Joel, we are recording this at 3 a.m. Eastern Time.
3 a.m.
How are you feeling?
I'm weirdly okay, but I feel like I'm going to fall off the cliff, like, any time.
Yeah, it could happen in the middle of this podcast, so be ready for some takes. Or not. I don't even know. But we'll go Colts. Like I said, you guys know what we're going to be talking about. This is the biggest win of the Colts season. I didn't get a chance to put in the story, but you and I are talking about it. Like, it's the biggest regular season win, I think, since...
the last time they... well, since they played here in 2018.
2018, when they clinched the playoff spot. Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's how big this win is. They seize control of the division at 6-3. They have the tiebreaker, obviously, with Tennessee. And I think more importantly, and this is what I wrote in my story, and again, we'll get into yours and what Greg wrote as well, but what I wrote was that it wasn't just that they beat the Titans and seized control of the division. They beat the hell out of the Titans tonight.
Yeah, I felt like even in the first half when the Titans offense was going pretty well, there's a feel to games, I think, when you cover a lot of them. And sometimes my feelings are wrong. Jim can tell you, because sometimes I give up on teams too fast.
It's hard to get emotional during games.
But tonight, I never really felt like they were in danger. Like, it just felt like I kept thinking, like, if they're going to lose this, it's going to take them making a big mistake somewhere.
One moment. They were down 7-3, and Ryan Tannehill released a deep ball down the field to A.J. Brown.
That's a good one.
And I was like, uh-oh, this is going to be 14-3 real fast. And, yeah. And he dropped it, and then they were fine after that.
That is a huge play in that game, because that was going to be a score.
Oh, yeah, easy. He beat Xavier Rhodes. He just beat him. Yeah. But anyways, so I just remembered that when you said there was never a moment where I doubted. That was the only moment where I doubted.
But other than that, it just felt like the offense... I mean, the offense had some of its normal issues scoring in the red zone, and we can get to that in a little bit. But it just felt like Tennessee couldn't really stop them. And the reason it felt like that was because I just never saw Rigoberto Sanchez other than when he was kicking off.
Joel and I was writing a story today about the number story you guys hopefully read. And I was trying to put zero for how many times Rigoberto Sanchez punted. And Joel was like, no, he punted once. I'm like, no, he didn't, liar. And apparently he did, but...
very late in the game.
I thought Frank Reich had, like, not even taken him to Nashville with him.
Yeah, no, he punted once very late. Like, probably the last drive before the Titans took over.
If there's one thing I love about Frank Reich above everything else, it is his dedication to going forward on fourth down consistently.
This might have been the most, like, going for it game ever.
I love it.
He went for it 5 times.
I mean, every time I was like, yep, do it.
He went for it 3 times in the same drive.
I've never seen that before. Have you? I don't think I've seen it 3 times.
I think I've seen it before, but probably in, like, a situation where, like, a team is, like, desperate and trying
maybe
to come back.
Right. In a situation where he's just like, no, I'm just going to keep going for it.
Yeah, he did it on the first drive of the second half in a game that he was only down by 4 in.
This is also not a good – yeah, I was going to say, it didn't work out, by the way.
It did, though.
Well, yeah, it did. You're right. But it didn't work out on that. The third, fourth down conversion failed.
Right.
However.
And everyone was like, and actually, I think you looked at me and said, oh, people are going to kill him for that.
Yeah.
And then it worked out.
Yeah.
Because the defense made good on the field position. And the Titans punter, who, I missed this for things. This is my apology for things. I did not realize that the Titans had signed a punter off
new
the
punter.
Street.
Yeah.
And promoted him over an experienced punter. Who averaged 50 yards a punt last week.
What was Mike Vrabel doing?
I just found this out like 2 seconds ago.
I just assumed the other guys. Wasn't it Brett Kern?
Brett Kern got hurt, and they signed Ryan Allen, who punted for the Patriots in like 3 Super Bowls.
Okay.
And he had a good game last week, and then they decided to hire, they decided to hire this Trevor Stanley dude.
Didn't know that.
And
Trevor Daniel.
Daniel, whatever his name is. He's not going to play in the NFL again.
Nope. That's the old office bit. Not gonna work here anymore.
Because he shankopotamus the punt. The punt was so bad that Jim and I, sitting there live in the stadium, thought for sure that he'd actually, like, that he'd gotten blocked.
I want to get this out of the way, too. I had some bad instant takes on Twitter on the Nyheim Hines touchdown and the EJ Speed block. I wanted to let you guys know we didn't have replay access.
No,
mostly.
It was really weird.
I was going on gut, and you guys killed me for the Nyheim Hines touchdown, which is fair. Anyway, to your point, I'm trying to get back to this. The going forward on fourth down actually worked for Frank Reich because continue.
It worked. It worked because if you go for it on fourth and goal,
at the opponent's one, you back them up in your own end zone.
Yeah.
And they actually did get a first down, mm-hmm. but they only got one first down. And then Danico Autry made probably the defensive play of the game, sacking Ryan Tannehill. They got a benefit of Derrick Henry getting banged up a little bit.
Yeah, he came out of the game at that point.
He came out of the game, but on third and one, they tried a play-action pass. Danico, they tried to boot Tannehill, which worked on the first drive.
Like three times, yeah.
Autry read it, sacked him.
Yep.
And then Trevor Daniel Stanley, whatever his name is. You guys can forget this. You don't need to know it.
Yeah, the Titans' nameless punter.
The creative punter that Mike Vrabel signed over a guy who punted in the Super Bowl.
That's wild. Okay.
Shanked a 17-yard punt, and this time the Colts made good on it. They just got like an extended drive, basically. And then, I mean, the second one wasn't creative punter's fault.
No, that was decided not to block EJ Speed for some real reason. I watched the replay and I was like, oh, I could have blocked that punt. Yeah. No one blocked it.
He didn't block it.
You're like, you know how EJ Speed got close last time? We're going to let him get it this time. I was like, what are you? All right.
I saw somebody else. I think our colleague Jake Arthur tweeted this, but like, he blocked it with his neck. He was so far.
I felt bad to the other punter. I think hesitated too. It was like, oh my god, he's right on top of me. He might tackle me, which he could have.
And I think one of the things that sticks out to me and stuck out to me in the moment was just the Colts special teams is just so much better this season.
Oh my god, what's the third special teams touchdown?
They got Isaiah Rogers
kick return. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's only two.
It's definitely the second block punt.
Jordan Glasgow has a block punt, yeah. The number I put out there was they have five defensive special teams touchdowns this year.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That feels like a lot for like a whole season.
There was the, yeah, we can have to go through it, but they're creating points in a lot of different ways right now.
And just to like back up how much better they are in special teams, DVOA has the Colts ranked sixth in special teams. Which they could not have done last year just on the strength of Adam Vinatieri alone. But if I remember right, there were some like really bad mishaps with special teams last year.
I think that's part of the reason they drafted Glasgow, is that like we have some issues. We need some special teams like stars.
Rogers too.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, we're off track because we started off with like, I don't know where we started. Man, this is going to be a wild ride here.
Yeah.
But we're supposed
buckle
to go
in. It's 3:10 and getting late.
We're supposed to go big picture here.
Or earlier.
And then, but somehow we ended up dialing in on the Titans punter, which is beyond me at this point.
Because it's so weird.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
He gave up a Super Bowl punter for some guy he'd never heard of.
And he used to play for the Patriots. He collects those guys. What happened?
I didn't read this story, but there was a headline on this guy that said he was working at FedEx. They traded a Super Bowl punter for a FedEx punter.
Well, they're going to FedEx him back to where he came from.
No, that's good. That's
sorry.
Good.
Yeah. Dad jokes are great. Okay, so big picture, though. I think I said what I said was they manhandled the Titans. But let's go, like, the facts. They're 6-3. They're tied with the Titans now atop the division, but they do have the tiebreaker. And you were pointing out, and I mentioned it in my story. I didn't actually kind of go deep into it, but I mentioned it in my story. The Titans have a pretty tough schedule coming up. A lot of people have talked about the Colts schedule because they got Green Bay, they got the Titans again, they got the Raiders later. But the Titans, you just pulled up the schedule here, they have some tough games too.
Yeah, so the Colts obviously have the Packers, and then they have to play the Titans again. The Titans have to play the Ravens, and then have to play the Colts again.
Yep.
And both of those games are on the road, whereas both of the Colts games are at home.
Yep.
They still have to play the Browns.
Browns is a tough game.
And they still have to play the Packers. They have games against the Jaguars, Lions, and Texans in there, but the Colts also have games against the Texans and Jaguars.
Also, the Colts end the season at home against Jacksonville. That should be an easy win. They end in Houston against Texans, which I don't think is a gimme.
After being on the road twice in a row again, they end at Green Bay, at Houston.
Man, they must have played nothing but home games at the beginning of the year.
So we've been thinking about this as if, okay, the Colts have to make this hay and build a cushion because I think most people are thinking they have to build a cushion because the back half of the schedule is tough. Well,
right.
Tennessee is going to lose some of those games.
Yep.
I did not see a defense that's going to be very good against anybody who can pass the ball.
We talked about this a lot. You said the biggest weakness was going to be the pass rush. That absolutely bore out today. Rivers barely broke a sweat out there.
He
got chased around maybe once or twice.
He got sacked once at almost like the worst possible time.
Yeah. Yeah, but he really didn't, like, he wasn't really running for his life very often. He some of the hits, he didn't really take any hits.
He did have the slowest spin move I've ever seen get out of the pocket, but it worked.
He's an escape artist, as I tweeted out. He's a Houdini in the pocket. No, Philip Rivers, like, on that spin, and then between that and his turtle play last year, his athleticism is taking some hits this year. His reputation.
Yeah, no, there's like, so to get there and to get to be, I just think, you know, I think most people are thinking if you can get through this 4-game stretch at 2-2, you feel good.
Yeah.
But I really think it matters a ton that they beat the Titans in the first one.
Yep.
Because if you lose that game, the Titans are at 7-2, you're at 5-4, you're chasing.
Yeah.
You have to chase them down. Whereas now, this is a full-on race. This is neck and neck. You'll have a better idea after the next game.
Yeah.
Where they are, but you don't have to chase them down. I mean, if you can beat Green Bay and beat the Titans, you are probably in control of the division.
I think they are in control of the division. Again, not only because of and I know you're doing more like the fact of 6-3 and where they'll be on win loss, but they just, like I said, they just annihilated the team that was supposed to be right there with them.
I think Tennessee is a really good matchup for Indianapolis.
Yeah, it's perfect. I really kind of thought they would control Derrick Henry a little better than they did tonight.
So did I.
And they didn't, and it didn't matter. Because they control the play action game so much better. Well, also, A.J. Brown couldn't catch anything.
This was a weird game where the Colts only had one sack, but it felt like they just ruined poor Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, God.
The time he got hit by Justin Houston, it might be the hardest I've seen somebody get hit this year.
He ran right through him. And it wasn't like a free rush thing, too. He made a move around the tackle.
And weirdly, he completed that pass, which is odd because he didn't complete many passes after the first drive.
No, that's a good stat to bring up. Is they went five. They went right down the field, 5 of 5. I think it was like 42 yards and a touchdown. Probably 44 yards and a touchdown. And then he went 10 of 22 the rest of the game for 95 yards.
And that's actually kind of in line with what he's been doing lately.
Hmm.
The last three games, he's been completing 56% of his passes and averaging around like 180 passing yards.
It's you know what sucks for him is that we talked about this because he played the Bears defense, Colts defense. He's got the Ravens coming up, and I think there was another tough one in before that at one point in that 3-game stretch we were talking about. Like, he had a really tough defensive matchup. I can't remember who it was.
Oh, the Steelers.
The Steelers. Like, that's, he's playing like, that's what, 4 of the 5 best defenses in football?
He went Steelers, Bengals,
Bears,
Colts,
Ravens,
Colts.
Oh, so if you have Ryan Tannehill in fantasy, sorry.
Just put him on the bench.
Yikes, put him away. Yeah, I mean, again, that schedule is brutal. So again, that speaks to your point though. These Titans, like, it's not easier for them going down the stretch at all.
No, and for them going up against these defenses is much more difficult because they don't have a good defense.
So let's go to the side of the ball that you wrote about today. Offensively, there are a couple things that stand out, I think, to everybody. I'll get to one that we're not going to talk about much. Philip Rivers was the pretty great, like, conductor of the offense today. Just, like, kind of the maestro.
Yeah, can we stop with the benching Philip Rivers every time they lose a game nonsense?
Wait. Oh, God. No, I don't even want to. Okay.
Like, I got so many tweets after they lost to the Ravens about how they needed to bench Philip Rivers. Can we stop?
He wasn't even the problem against them. He wasn't great against the Ravens, but he wasn't the problem against the Ravens.
Like, just stop.
Yeah. Well,
the passing game is so much better.
Your guy, and you don't have to get into this because I know you're better than me, but your guy, Jason Luckenfor, wrote a real stupid story about benching Philip Rivers that was...
That's even more reason for me to go off. What the heck?
I know. It was so dumb. And again, he's just feeding the monster. That doesn't make any sense. So
I'm not saying, like, none of us are saying that by doing this that Philip Rivers is, like, playing the way Rodgers or Mahomes or somebody like that is. He wasn't supposed to, like, no one thought they were getting Rodgers or Mahomes.
No.
Plus, newsflash for everybody who hates the $25 million salary, if they were getting that, it would have cost $40 million.
Yeah.
So, like, he's not perfect, but he's playing pretty darn well.
Yeah.
3 of the last 4 games for Philip Rivers have been really, really good.
Now, this is the perfect segue for me because we're talking about how good Philip Rivers played. So now we need to talk about how well his backup quarterback played today. I can't believe you didn't start this podcast with a round of applause for me. I'm kind of mad.
Oh, man.
Everyone out there who doubted me. Yeah, I'm just...
I don't know how Jim got to a point in his Colts beat writing career where he's chiefly known for being an advocate for the slow pony.
It's so weird too, because I don't even think he's that good. But somehow my reputation has become, I love Jacoby Brissett, which is really not what is true. What I think is, what happened today is that he's perfect for what those plays. Third and fourth and short, let him sneak. He's great at it.
He is really good at sneaking.
He was incredibly good at it last year. They should keep, like, you know how, okay, wait. How bad are the Colts in the run game in the short yardage right now?
It's pretty bad.
Why are we not using more Jacoby sneaks?
I think we might. There's a chance that you just got your...
Comeback. Comeback. Don't. He wasn't down for long.
There's a chance that there's hope for Jim. There's a chance.
For you guys that don't know the bet, it is 16 plays. I'm at 3 right now, so not looking great, but here we go.
I mean, if they have a game like today where they were in, like, 3rd and 1, like, 6 times, and they just decide to sneak it every time.
Well, here's what we talked about. After that play against Jacksonville, they benched it for, like, 6 weeks or 7 weeks or whatever, because it didn't work. Well, now we got evidence, Joel. It works. Anyway, you guys didn't come to listen to me, like, rant and rave about Jacoby.
I think they did, though.
I know.
I think a few of them did.
It did feel, you don't celebrate in the press box, you don't cheer for the team, but I felt vindicated tonight when I saw him run that play. I thought Frank maybe did it just for me. So, the parts of the offense I really want to focus on, though, are two. It is Michael Pittman and Nyheim Hines. Let's start with Michael Pittman, because I think it's slightly more intriguing to me.
I'm more interested. Well, I also think it's more sustainable.
Yeah, I agree with that. Did we see the emergence of the Colts' number one receiver today? Did it happen?
I don't know that we saw that for sure. Okay. I think what we saw is that it's in there.
Which is huge.
I don't know that we've seen that at any point this season where I was just like, that guy can be a number one receiver.
From any receiver, by the way. We talked about this before. Like, we've seen a 100-yard game from Mo. We've seen a 100-yard game from Marcus Johnson. And neither one of those times did we feel like that's a sustainable way to live in this passing offense.
Right.
When we watched those passes to Michael Pittman, a lot of times him creating yards for himself after the catch and showing speed, I don't think either one of us knew he had.
No, I did not realize he was as good after the catch as he was today.
And he also bowled a couple guys over. Like, I watched that today and went, that's a real thing. Replicable thing. I'm sorry.
The reason I didn't expect it is because I hadn't seen it in training camp.
Right.
Or really in the, like, before today, most of what we'd seen from him is early on was just slants and stuff over the middle. He was really good at making tough contested catches.
Right.
But he was playing more of the, like, Devin Funchess, like, post-up role than what he did today, which is make plays.
Yeah. I mean, the first big play down the field he made was, like, a nice – I just kind of think anybody could have done it. It was a great scheme by Frank Reich. T.Y. Hilton went deep and took two defenders with him. And by the way, when T.Y. Hilton talks about how defenses play the Colts differently when he's on the field, that's what he's talking about, honestly. Like, again, I know people think he's kind of just talking – he's talking himself up. People still respect him as a deep threat and as a weapon. So anyway, he dragged two defenders out of the play and it made it like an easy 25, 30-yard play for Michael Pittman. But beyond that, I thought it was a lot of stuff of him, his own creation, him creating separation, him getting yards after the catch.
The reverse was the one I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I never thought, again, I watched a lot of his college tape after they drafted him, but I didn't, and he ran some in college, but I didn't, I was like, that's not an NFL thing. And he looked good.
It looked really good.
Yeah.
I was shocked how good it looked. We just hadn't seen that from him. They hadn't used him like that. He's really only in the third game back from his injury.
Yep.
And that's, I think the other thing that's tantalizing is that in a bad game for the passing game against Baltimore's really good defense, he had 4 catches for 56 yards. And I kind of came away thinking that him and DeMichael Harris were the only two, like, bright spots for the offense that day.
Yeah.
And now he's done it 2 weeks in a row. And, well, he's done it twice in 4 days.
Twice.
Because it's only Thursday.
Yeah.
So there's something there. You can see why they drafted him. You can see it starting to emerge. While everybody freaks out about what other rookie receivers are doing, I want to wait a little bit on Pittman here.
You and I have talked about this too. I think at the trade deadline, and it's like if there's one thing that this Colts offense could really use to boost it, like. Because you look around and you're like, you couldn't, outside of a guy like George Kittle, you can't really add a tight end to change the way this offense works. Offensive line, quarterback's not realistic. Running back, they have other issues. Like, the one place where you could say like they could use an upgrade wasn't just like a Jameson Crowder receiver. It was like, we need a bona fide number one receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what Michael Pittman's going to be for the rest of the year, a guy that defenses have to treat that way, and he's going to perform that way, this offense might have another gear. This passing offense, yeah, which has been pretty good already.
I think it's a big deal. It's just a like the Michael Pittman we saw today is the kind of guy who can really give people trouble.
Yeah, especially with his size and again that speed. I'm unbelievable. The giddy up. I just didn't think he. Yeah, I just did not know that he had that.
That
extra gear.
It looked really good. I think the other thing is when you start running him on reverses and like Zach Pascal had a touch pass that didn't quite get in the end zone.
Oh yeah.
But you're starting to get to the point where, like, so what I was thinking when they had that stuff happen, because DeMichael Harris did run one end around and he got face masked, but it got blown up.
Yep.
But what I was thinking was, while they were running those, I was like, well, now you can't just assume that if DeMichael Harris is in, they're going to run that, because it might be the other guy.
Yeah. God, can you imagine now this offense with Paris Campbell running around doing that stuff?
No.
I mean,
we were talking about this. We sort of like the idea of it still. Like, we still think that Paris Campbell would have had a really big season.
Yeah, you and I have been having this back and forth that I don't think we've written about, and it's kind of hard to get.
I mentioned it in my story today.
Oh, good. Okay, mm-hmm. Good. So then it's one of those things where it was very possible the Colts lost their top weapons in the first week.
Yeah, so I was thinking that, like, one of the things that we've probably not done a good enough job talking about and writing about is, like, this offense. We sort of thought of it going in training camp, especially thinking like, okay, just add Phillip Rivers, great running game, you upgrade the passing game, boom, good to go, good offense.
Yeah.
But they lost Marlon Mack. The offensive line can't block for some reason.
They were better today, but
except in short yardage, which makes no sense.
I know, I don't quite get it.
You have Quentin Nelson.
I mean, maybe it is. Again, I'm not a big like call out the play caller thing, as everybody here knows, and you know. You aren't either, but maybe it was more of like a predictable, like they just jumped it type of thing in those short yardages.
Four times?
Yeah. I don't know.
You got to block something. Get push.
Yeah.
I
got to watch those short yardages.
One of the things they really had trouble with today in those short yardages, especially early, was they couldn't reach people.
Yeah, that's what I said. Like,
people were knifing inside of them.
Kelly didn't get to a linebacker on one, I know.
Like, Braden Smith missed.
Yeah.
Trey Burton missed, Trey Burton had two early plays. I was like, hey, Miss Jack.
I think Trey got benched. There was a lot of
blocking.
I got to watch this up, but like, Tongi, I was out there a lot.
Well, he missed two blocks right away.
Right away. Like, you and I both looked at each other like, Trey Burton's having a bad game to start this game. He missed two bad blocks, and then they started going a lot of Tongi. And he was running routes. They weren't throwing to him because they're not doing that, but he was running routes. So anyway.
Oh, I can't wait for the 45-yard Tongi touchdown.
The Buffalo play?
Yeah, like where like the other team just forgets he exists. They think of him as like Danny Pinter.
Anyway, you were talking about Paris Campbell and kind of what this element. You're right. I think this offense, like, there's like an explosive element.
I think
they
built a lot of the offense around the idea that Marlon Mack and Paris Campbell would be here.
Yeah.
And then they lost it. Yeah. And then I think the other thing is they lost Pittman for three games.
Mm-hmm.
They lost Burton at the beginning of the season.
Yep.
Doyle's been in and out.
Moe's been knocked out, or like at least beat up.
Yeah, Moe was beat up against Cleveland, missed a game.
Yep.
I think that maybe part of the reason the offense doesn't feel like it has an identity is that it keeps changing on them.
Yeah, and they've had to adapt quite a bit.
Well,
the other thing we should talk about before, by the way, is that the change in the offense is that they decided to go full-on up-tempo today.
Yeah, it looked good.
Yeah, just like all the time, which is something that the Colts have talked about doing, and like they know that Frank Reich and Rivers have this history in San Diego of doing it well. But they hadn't, and they did it a lot. Like, they did it against Baltimore a bunch, but they didn't commit to it the way they had today.
No, it was full on all go. I think it's a really smart thing to do on Thursday, too. Like, this team's already tired.
Yep.
And you're just going to go right at him.
I wrote about this, too, with Phillip Rivers. I just like the idea of getting him to the line of scrimmage with, like, 25 seconds on the clock to diagnose a defense. To look around and be like, that's this, I'm going to set him up. And he said, actually, today, he actually said, I didn't do a lot of checks today because
Reich's play calling was really good.
Calling a great game. But, like, I just love the idea of him getting to the line of scrimmage going, I know what the personnel is because it was the same as before. And here's what they're going to do. And here's how. I think the more they can take advantage of Rivers' mind and, you know, eliminate some of the physical limitations that he has, the better they're going to be.
I got a really weird question at halftime in my Ask Joel thing where somebody said, is that the most fraudulent 200 passing yards you've ever seen? Watching what Rivers did in the first half.
Now, he doesn't throw, like, I saw an ESPN stat today, I was writing our story on TV, and it said he only threw six passes that traveled 10 yards or more.
Right.
So if that's the implication, then I suppose that's what he's saying?
I think that's what they were trying to say. But I have insight here, and this is what I answered someone.
Yeah.
What I answered the person. That's the Titans' profile. The Titans are 15th in the NFL coming in yards per passing play without being able to sack anybody.
Right.
And 27th in yards given up. That tells you right there what's going on.
Yeah.
They give up. They're trying to take away the deep ball.
Yeah, so
and then they're just hemorrhaging short yardage passes, which is what happened today.
And Rivers is the perfect quarterback to execute that game plan.
Also, like a sneaky, like not like a like a big flashy game from T.Y. Hill, but a sneaky good one.
What was the final?
4 catches, 40 yards.
Oh, good.
A lot of first downs.
It's a good bounce back game for him a little bit.
A lot of like kind of feel type plays where it's like Rivers would throw it and it kind of takes T.Y. and he sees where it goes and gets him like a couple extra yards out of it. I don't know. It was just good to see those two receivers have 11 catches.
Rivers did a really great job today of just, again, we've talked about this, I think, so many times, at least in the press box. I don't know if we ever get to talking about it on the podcast. It's how many times that Rivers actually puts the ball on a guy where they can just keep running or he leads them into a play. Like he does
there was a throw to Burton over the middle. It looked like he was double covered, right. But he threw to the part where there were no players.
Yeah. He did it to T.Y. too on an out of bounds. Like he was near the sideline, and he actually threw it up the field a little bit. So T.Y. had to move up the field to get it, and he just kept going. It was like he's just really good at that.
When he's on and when he feels like he's comfortable in the pocket, you see it a lot more.
He had one terrible throw today. Maybe more, but I can only remember the one. It was the Marcus Johnson one down the sideline.
Like, I think that's it. I think that's it.
Again, like, I get wanting to give Marcus a chance on the sideline because he's proven he can do stuff, but, like, he really undershot it again. I mean, what's his – I can't remember the corner. Who picked it off? It was out of bounds. Malcolm Butler picked it off. But, yeah, it was out of bounds. But he's got to not do that. Those are real bad throws. Again, I don't know. And that one, too, looked like it was a little bit more like, look right, look right, look right, and then just come back left. And not really step into it, and I was like, "You don't have that arm for that."
Right, like he needs to have full. Yeah. When he's had the good throws that like that this year, like the 55 yarder against the Bengals, like he was set up
up in the pocket, yeah, and he can launch it. Like I said, he just doesn't have that like fling it down the sideline, no problem arm. And that's I got to watch the play again because again we weren't great on replays, but that was one of the problems I had with him.
And by we weren't great on replays, I mean if you go to Nissan Stadium for a Titans game, you will not see a replay.
It's the problem. So
even when the Titans do something good.
But if the Colts did something good, you didn't see it. The Titans one was like 50-50. All right, let's get into Nyheim Hines really quickly because he was kind of the spark plug for the offense, especially early. Like he had that little that touchdown that I thought was not a touchdown, but he did a great job. We're not to talk about him as a pass catcher, honestly, because we kind of already know that side of him, and he's done it before, and it's good that they have it, and they should bring it back and use it more in the offense. But today he was particularly good as a runner, and that we hadn't seen. We haven't seen that in a long time from Nyheim Hines.
No, he came in averaging 3.2 yards per carry. I don't know. I think...
Birthday boy, Nyheim Hines, by the way.
I think there's this idea that like they're just not using him, but he's been getting carries. Like he's got a lot of carries this year.
No, you and I talked about it. We were like, you have to give him 4 or 5 because you can't make him just the pass catching guy.
And actually, I think there's a lot of people out there who were like, don't ever give. I think coming in, I think there were a lot of fans out there who were like, don't ever give Nyheim the ball on a handoff.
Which you can't do. You create tendencies that way.
I also don't think this is like going to mean that suddenly Nyheim Hines is going to be the lead back. I think this is more of a one-off than anything running wise.
I'm throwing my hands up on the Colts running back situation. Yeah. If you guys are looking for fantasy advice, I got nothing for you.
I just don't think that's what you're going to see.
No, it'll be matchup dependent. It's what he always does. It's what Frank's always said he would do.
I think this if you're looking for fantasy advice, the advice is don't have a Colts running back.
Yeah, or don't also don't start Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
It's not again. I didn't count. We should probably have counted before we started. I don't think he had many touches in the second half again. I don't think he got benched. I think they were just riding the hot hand with Nyheim Hines.
Yeah.
But he got his touches right in the beginning of the game. Got the quick pass. Remember? Then he got a couple carries.
They've lost. I think they have lost some confidence in him. And the next time we get Rathbun, we're gonna ask.
Well, like I like the way Frank Reich does this because it's like he's like I scheme up plays for all three backs. And I think I was going
to
ask him the specific.
The first two plays went to Taylor today.
Right. And then he put Wilkins in. Or no, I think it was Hines and Wilkins. But anyway, he gets all – in the first 15 plays, all three backs get run. And I think that gives him the, like, okay, who's got the hot hand? That's the first evaluation of it, for at least for Rathman. And today you could, I mean, he said, I thought that was really great. He said that Rathman came up to him on the sideline, or at least in the headset, said, like, Naheem is, like, on fire today. We got to keep with him. And Frank Reich was like, do it. Stay with him.
Right.
Stay with him.
He was right. Naheem had a career-high yards from scrimmage.
And so you, Joel, were questioning the great Tom Rathman's judgment over the past. So you should apologize to him. I'm just kidding.
Well, the weird thing is, like, I think the last couple touches that Jonathan Taylor had were probably his best touches.
Yeah, he wasn't bad.
Because he ran somebody over in the open field in a pass.
Oh, I love that play.
And then, because he had a run on the goal line that didn't go.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, he got the third down and one that didn't get in. And then Wilkins came in and got the fourth and one and didn't get in.
But I didn't think any of those were really on the running backs. I thought that didn't give them any push.
I will say that we've talked about this a long time, though.
Because normally Taylor on the goal line is really good because he will launch himself over, and he just didn't have a chance to
do that. No, he got hit before. He had a couple carries where he got hit behind the line of scrimmage. It really worked. I don't think he was bad today by any means. He just
didn't have any chances.
Yeah, Naheem Hines was really good.
And there was a couple times, actually, where we saw him. I thought the two he picked up in short yardage was just a really good job of just being like, I'm big, I'm fast, I'm going to go far really hard.
He had a fourth and one. I think it was the first fourth. I think it was the first fourth down they went for and converted. And he just, I thought he just got it himself.
Yeah.
He just ran over a guy and then pushed himself
forward. And on the pass he had, he, like, just flat out ran somebody over.
So happy to see it. Like I said, you and I have talked about this before. He's not showed enough wiggle. He's not showed enough, like, ability to make guys miss. And I'm like, fine, then just run him over then. And that, right. I love that he tried right. that.
Just use the speed, run him over, just break tackles that way.
Yeah, exactly. I think you were right when we talked about maybe there's more of a Derrick Henry-ish feel to him. It's like he's not going to, like, shifty beat you, but, like, once you get a full head of steam, that's when he's going to be a problem.
Right.
And so maybe that's more the way he can run and find that kind of niche in the NFL. Again, like, we were talking about...
It might take a little while.
Well,
it's going to take a little while.
Derrick Henry took, like, what, a year and a half, 2 years?
It took a while for Derrick Henry to figure stuff out.
Mark Ingram didn't really know what kind of runner he was early on in his career.
Mark Ingram didn't know for, like, 3 years.
That's what I'm saying. So maybe it just takes a little time for some guys. And, again, we're talking about some guys that are similarly, like, bigger. Actually, Ingram's got some speed, too. He's not as fast as Taylor, but...
Ingram's another good... Like, both of those guys are, like, guys who are really productive in college. Big stars coming out. Heisman Trophy types.
Yeah.
You know?
I think there might be some similarities there. So just be patient.
Christian McCaffrey, too. Like, also struggled in the running game. Not as a receiver.
No, he was great.
But
yeah.
Honestly, Taylor hasn't really struggled as a receiver.
No, he's been way better than everybody thought. Again, the way we talked about some of the things that, like, it's... Didn't fumble much up until the Ravens game and was a great pass catcher, which were the knocks on him going in. So, no, I think today, you're right, the numbers were down. I wouldn't start him in fantasy anytime soon, but the numbers were down. I think the opportunities are just going to be down because Reich's going to roll with the hot
this
hands.
Is going to be more like the 17 Eagles, where it's just like you just don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, you're going to have the Sproles on that team? Yeah, Sproles. Yeah. Sproles will catch a bunch of passes and then get some carries. And then
J.H.I.
Corey Clement. Yeah, like don't. That's what it's going to be the rest of the year. So it's going to be frustrating for fantasy owners, but that's what it is. But I was really impressed with the way Hines ran the ball today.
He looked like, okay, the only time I ever remember him looking like that was he took the number two job from Wilkins in 2018, the second half of the season.
That's why everybody fell in love with him originally.
And especially the Oakland game that year, like he really, it was the way it looked tonight. It looked like, you know, it was really decisive. He was kind of knifing through. Not all of his decisions were perfect tonight. He had one bad one.
Yeah, we talked about it. It was kind of the heat check. Like, I'm going to bounce this outside. No, I'm not going to bounce. I'm going to bounce it back in. You're like, yeah, this play's over. Yeah. You're like, yeah, you just need to make a decision.
But more of the decisive, like, quickness that we saw. It felt like the Oakland game from a couple years ago. If he can get it going on that, like, run, maybe you will see him a little bit more. But... Again, this is still a bad run blocking offensive line, and one game. I mean, it's the same thing as with Wilkins. Like, one game is not every game.
That's what. Yeah. So that. I mean, actually, that's the same thing we're talking about with like Pittman and being afraid. Like, oh wait, this is real. We didn't see it disappear. Like,
yeah, we don't know.
But again, I think Frank Reich and Phillip Rivers have talked all year about kind of having an offense that can hit you in 10 different ways. So maybe they'll keep doing that, but. With the Pittman thing, it definitely seems like they got something real there.
I think the most important thing is, like, for as much as this offense has been killed, like, today is a reminder that this offense can tear people up. They're not the Bears.
That's the – I mean, we knew this because they did it to the Bengals and they did it to – like, again, have they proven it against a great defense? They have not.
No.
They've had two chances and they haven't done it.
No.
But they have ripped apart average to below average teams, which is all they have left on the schedule outside of Pittsburgh.
As the one caveat is, if someone has a great pass rusher, they can do something, but you have to have a Myles Garrett level pass rusher.
Right. The Browns, even though they're more of an average defense than, but like, there's no defense coming up that really should scare you. Green Bay, Houston, Tennessee, you just saw. Vegas, definitely not.
No.
They're awful. That's it. And that's Pittsburgh Jackson.
No, every defense they see from now, except for Pittsburgh, is going to be like, I think like 25th or worse in DVOA.
It's not. Tennessee came in at like 20 or 18.
Oh, yeah. So they still have to.
They'll drop, though.
I keep forgetting they have to play Tennessee again. Tennessee's going to drop.
Yep.
So they're playing defenses that are gettable, and when they've played defenses that are gettable and can't rush the passer, Green Bay is not rushing the passer the way they did last year. Tennessee cannot rush the passer at all. Houston is J.J. Watt or bust.
Yep.
Jacksonville has Josh Allen or bust now, and the Raiders can't rush the passer this year.
No, Crosby's okay. Is it Crosby?
Max Crosby, yeah. But I think he's having a down year a little bit.
Okay.
That's part of the reason the Raiders have been so bad on defense.
Yeah.
But
no, they've been a disaster on defense. They're one of the worst teams in DVOA. I think they're 29th or 30th. They're brutal. But, so, again, I think it's a great point to take out of this is the Colts offense can do this to below average. Again.
And they're going to get a lot of them. They're going to get a lot of below average defenses.
And you know, I wrote this in my story. It was like people are like, well, they're going to have to face a great defense eventually if they get to the playoffs. They will. But maybe given 8 more games – Rivers and Reich will find some answers. Maybe Pittman emerges as the number one receiver.
If people think back to the 2018 season, they didn't really know what they were until after the 8th game of the season that year either. That's when they started figuring out, we have this Marlon Mack running game, and it turned it into a more equitable thing between. I think one of the things they're doing is they're leaning on Rivers more, a lot more.
They should. Honestly, I think early in the year we all went, no, don't. Take it away, but the running game hasn't been good enough, and he has shown some restraint in throwing those boneheaded picks.
If you can keep him clean, he hasn't made he's still gonna have one throw a game. Today was the Marcus Johnson throw.
But almost every quarterback has a throw or two a game,
right?
Honestly,
right. I wrote that today. Like, one of the things they're doing is they're leaning more into Rivers.
And they should.
And it's worked three of the last four games.
Honestly, like I said, up until Pittsburgh game, again, if you could, because they're going to, I mean, they'll rush the heck out of him and they're very opportunistic defense. If you could run by then, that'd be great. But I don't know. Because, again, you can run on Pittsburgh. You saw Baltimore in for like 250, but we can deal with the Pittsburgh game plan in 5 weeks, 6 weeks. So let's flip over to the defensive side before we kind of wrap this thing up. I think it's more of the same, more great. I mean, I'm ready. Like, you wrote the story about the NFL seeing this Colts defense as elite. And it's funny that it's a good time to write it because you wrote it before a national game.
Mm-hmm.
Where now I think the national audience went, oh, yeah, that's an elite defense.
Yeah, first half wasn't great. But what they did in the second half, 3.9 yards per play in the second half. And that's with Henry playing pretty well.
Yeah, Henry ran on them, which was surprising to me. But again, they didn't let it ruin their game at all. They kept coming up with big stands.
Their next game is going to be a really unique test.
Different.
But the reason it's a unique test is because there's three quarterbacks in the NFL who are playing at just unreal levels right now.
Right.
And the good news for the Colts is two of them aren't on the schedule until at least the playoffs.
What I will say is this, is that if Aaron Rodgers, if Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers find a way to scheme up Adams against Rock, that will be a problem for the Colts.
And I mean, honestly, Adams against Rhodes is probably a problem too.
Yeah, it is. But Rock had some troubles today, actually.
So,
and he's been a little bit, he's been beaten a few times. I don't know. I'm not giving up by any means on Rock. I think he's a good corner, but he's gettable. And I think the Packers are going to try to expose that. But defensively, like today, I wanted to, 17 points. They get the benefit of a missed field goal, I suppose. But they don't have the benefit of a turnover.
No.
Which again is you want to create takeaways. It sounds like a bad thing, but you pretty much had to grind it out the hard way.
It's good to see that they can do that defensively,
right?
Because you're gonna run like the next game is a really good example. There's gonna be teams that don't turn the ball over.
Correct.
Green Bay does not turn the ball over. No. Aaron Rodgers does not throw interceptions.
You have to be able to grind out those drives in those series without getting a turnover or relying on the turnover every time. And they absolutely did today. Again, I know they gave up 17 points, but we talked about a couple of those drives. Like, one of those drives was two defensive offsides or encroachments or
neutral zone. One of the defensive drives was four penalties.
Well, so I'm saying it was two of those, and then it was a pass interference, and then it was the roughing the passer, all in the same series. Like, they pretty much gave them points on that. Which, again, if you guys watch the Colts, they don't commit these penalties ever.
No, games. Yeah, this almost is a weird ever. Game.
And then the I can't remember, was the Darius Leonard shoved? Did that lead to points or not?
Darius Leonard shoved.
The shove of Tannehill out of bounds. He got the roughing the passer. I mean, the unnecessary.
That did not lead to points. It was okay. In the second half.
There was another one of their other drives had penalties in it, and it led to points. But anyway, that was again defensively. I just thought again it was the only surprising thing was they didn't shut down the run game the way I thought they might. And Derrick Henry is their kryptonite.
Well, and if you're looking for the reason that they had trouble with Henry, it's that they kept breaking contain.
Yeah. He kept getting outside, which is weird. You never see that again with the Colts either. And again, it is their kryptonite. This is the craziest stat to me, is that only one person has ran for 100 yards against a Matt Eberflus Colts defense, and it's Derrick Henry, and he's done it twice. He ran for 140-something last year, and he just did it 103. Again, 103, though, you can take 103 from Derrick Henry.
Yeah, you don't want him to go for 150.
If you're holding Tannehill to, 150 or whatever he threw for, you're fine with 100 yards from
I think you feel really good if you're the Colts going into that second game against the Titans.
Yes, you have to. Oh, God, they talked a lot of crap, by the way. So the Titans are going to come back motivated.
You feel like, defensively, you feel like all we have to do is figure out how to contain, and they can't do anything.
Yeah, they took away I'm telling you, taking away the play action from Ryan Tannehill pretty much neuters him, honestly. Yeah. That's what he does, and they did. I saw he was 3 of 3 on the first drive on play action. And then he was 3 of 7 for 30 yards the rest of the game on play action. So they took it away. And there's some Colts fan that said the Colts are terrible against play action. And I was like, I don't look at the numbers, but I don't think they are.
The Colts defense isn't terrible against anything.
I agree with you on that.
I keep seeing these we have to get away from this idea that a good defense in 2020 is gives up 7 points a game. That's not a thing.
The Titans score 30 a game. It's 29 a game going into this one. Yeah. They scored 17 tonight.
Yeah.
That is insanely good.
And before you say they missed a field goal, yeah, that happens every game. Yeah. Steven Gostkowski misses a field goal every game.
They still score 29 points without a kicker and a punter. Yeah, their special teams is a mess, which, by the way, the Colts, again.
Hey, this came full circle. We're back to create a punter.
Back to create a punter. But, I mean.
Good Trevor, Stanley, Daniel, Goodspeed.
They are. I honestly, yeah, that team I watched tonight, the Titans, don't seem like they're in the same class as the Colts. It's one game. You don't want to judge it too much.
They've got one more chance to prove it. But going on the road to the Titans' place and beating them, although Frank Reich loves Nissan Stadium.
4-0?
3-0.
3-0, yeah.
Frank Reich loves Nissan Stadium. But generally, the Colts have the Titans' number, usually anyway.
Yeah.
And actually, if you remember the second game, the one they lost the Titans last year, they were leading it for a while.
They were leading, yeah. They just gave up a couple big plays. Big play action shot deep that beat, Roland Milligan was deep built, beat deep in coverage. And then, yeah, they had another mistake in that game. I think it was a
percent. The sign they did not make tonight at all.
No, they were, that was about as good as you're going to see the Colts play. So, yeah, that's going to do it for us because it's 3:45 in the morning and we're going to sleep before we drive 4 hours or 5 hours home tomorrow. So get a quick nap in.
Yay.
And then we'll take off. So thank you guys for listening.
I know you guys like primetime games, but they're not my favorite.
I actually like it because I get to watch the rest of the NFL on Sunday. But you pay the price.
It hurts.
You do pay the price.
It hurts a lot.
But yeah. So thanks again for joining us, guys.
There will be coffee.
Check out our stuff on indystar.com. See you later.